Patriots practice running long.
Practice isn't over yet.
I said this in the 2 o'clock hour, and I kind of forgotten. You know, we got sidetracked, and I kind of forgotten. I go, oh crap, I got to look at the beat writers. Like, what are they tweeting about practice? Because they've been embargoed now that fans aren't allowed at training camp anymore. Which, when was the last one? Last week? Now that fans don't have access anymore, you can't live tweet what's going on. I think you were always embargoed on video, or largely embargoed on video, but you can't tweet live during practice what's going on. So we used to get, during training camp, after 7-on-7s, Callahan, Daniels, Phil Perry, boom, here were the numbers. We'd know them in real time as they were coming out. Now you just get like a flood of tweets at the end of practice. And we'll only get that for another week or so, and then we're into the regular season, and you'll get to watch the guys stretch, and then you'll be done. So this is the most access we're going to have to what's going on the practice field, or at least that's how it was done under Bill. I guess I don't know how it's done under Gerard Mayo.
I would assume it's largely the same.
I would think so, right? I would think most teams handle it that way. So we haven't had any updates, and I was kind of wondering why we haven't had any updates, because they're having a 2.5-hour practice. Now, it didn't start until 1, so they're all plenty rested, these guys. Like, they have to get on the practice field. I was complaining about 11 a.m. practices. 1 o'clock? My goodness. And now it's going until 3:30. So what do we make of this? Is there a changing of the guard? Like, is that why they're adding more reps to give Drake May more of what's going on? And admittedly, I have no idea. I'm just trying to talk out why today is the day they're adding a lot. It is Thursday. It's not even like it's a normal, like Wednesday is normally your big practice day. Install day during a normal NFL week. So it's not even like they're replicating a regular NFL week that would have been yesterday. So I don't know that I have a great theory as to what's going on. I can tell you what I hope is happening. They're adding reps for Drake May, and they extended the thing, but just know. And we'll get the answer from Tom. We talked to him at some point in the 4 o'clock hour, normally at 3:30. I say normally. You know, that was ending today anyways. But we'll talk to him at some point in the 4 o'clock hour once practice is concluded and he's done with all of his TV, web responsibilities, interviews, and things like that. 4:30 is when we're going to talk to Tom. I don't have a great theory. I know what I'm hoping for, but they're having a marathon practice today, which I guess, good. They haven't had one all offseason. Good, they're finally having one.
I think they've had another one that was pretty long on one of those very hot days, but I don't know. Is it a good indicator or is it bad? Is it indicating that there's a lot of stuff that they need to cram into this one practice because there's only so much time left and they're looking at the calendar and they're even looking at the calendar of this week? What's up?
I think it's done.
Practice just ended?
Well, I'm seeing Reese tweets here in the last minute. He says, Tristan Hill had an interception. He's on the spot in a ricochet off the hands of Jaheim Bell on the first play of Drake May's two-minute drill. No.
Oh, dear.
Marathon practice, 2 hours, 24 minutes.
The good news is Tristan Hill is projected to be one of the best defensive weapons in the entire NFL.
I mean, the interception went off the hands of Jaheim Bell. I'm going to need more information on that. Was it behind him? Did Bell just drop a perfect throw that was right now? I'm going to need more information on that. And I'll spin it whatever way I want anyways. But that's Reese. He said they continue to shuffle their offensive line. Chukwuma Okorafor at left tackle. That pushed on Wenyu to right tackle.
Vidarian Lowe out.
Layden Robinson to right guard. Vidarian Lowe out. All right. I mean, let me know if you guys see anything else. I'm just going through the beat writers here. Was Phil saying anything? Those are all from
Mike. Did
you
guys just mention on Wenyu? Sorry, I was clicking around.
Yep, we did. Yes. On Wenyu at right tackle.
Mm-hmm. I saw on Dakota Randall says on Wenyu was the top. Oh, sorry. Yeah, top right tackle.
Yeah.
Right.
Here we go. Numbers. Last minute, Mark Daniels, just as I was bitching about it. That's perfect. Brissett, 10 for 11, 11 on 11. Only 2 for 4, 7 on 7. May, 7 for 10. Pick off the hands of Jaheim Bell. And 5 of 6, 7 on 7. More starter reps for May. Better day for Brissett. Zappy had a nice practice as well. Well, come on. He was 9 for 9 and 11 on 11. Zappy. Okay, I'll continue to pick through these, but it sounds like outside of the interception, May got more starters reps. Brissett had a bounce back day. Gonna need more details on that pick. If you see it, fill me in. But that's what's going on with the Pats. 2 hours and 24 minutes. Why, Arcan? Why?
It's a good question. I think that they realize, especially on the offensive line, with Lowe injured or whatever his deal is now, that they have to come up with something quickly. They have to find some kind of combination that works. And I think that over the course of these, last couple of weeks here in getting the quarterbacks ready, they've largely, I don't want to say neglected it, but they've also just sort of thrown together whoever was there and haven't really found anything that sticks. I'd imagine that the extra time today was to just get a little bit more cohesiveness with that unit. I think that that's probably the biggest issue on this team right now. I'd say that's the biggest thing that's at the top of everybody's mind in terms of getting ready for the season. You know, you want the quarterback to be ready, but they all sort of look at the offensive line and think, okay, this unit is in the worst shape at any group here on this team, and we got to fix this somehow before we get to this game.
Can I ask a real quick sidebar question, since we have a Commanders fan sitting here and Jahan Dotson got traded today for a 5th-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles? Good organization, good receivers. Should the Patriots have been in on Dotson? He was really bad last year, but he's a former 1st-round pick. He had a good rookie year.
I think if they had done it, I probably would have crushed them. I probably, to be totally transparent.
Crushed who? The Pats?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't love this for the Commanders. So I would look at it and say, like, it's just not...
You don't like that the Commanders traded him?
No. I'm saying, like, if it was reversed, I'm thinking about it as if my team got it.
I see.
Do you know what I'm saying?
If your team got Dotson or if your team traded Dotson?
No, if my team got Dotson, what do we want him for?
Right.
you can only go in on a redemption project, but...
With this team.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I would be a little bit more irritated than anything else saying, like, this is like a fake buy. This is, you think that you can redeem this guy? You don't have any part of your offense really organized. So I don't think it's...
It's not a 3rd-round pick. Like, that's what you got for Judon. So, I mean, that's significant. I think that's...
I thought it was a 5th. Did I have that wrong?
I thought it was a 3rd, and they got back a 5th.
Oh, maybe right? I may have misread. If it's a 3rd, that is way too much.
They traded Dotson and a 5th for a 3rd and 2
okay.
7th.
I'm sorry. I thought they got the 5th back, so I misread that. So that's way too much. Dotson was horrendously bad last year. Good rookie year. 1st-round pick. I don't know. A 3rd-rounder is too much. I agree with that. Now, you have an extra one to Arcan's point, but there you go. All right, so I'm catching up on more of these tweets coming out. Mark Daniels, Drake May took 6 reps with the top offensive line today. That included 4 throws, 3 complete, to DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk, Jaheim Bell. He also says May was intercepted on his first throw in the 2-minute drill. It was kind of a wild play. Del Pettis batted the pass up in the air. The wide receiver hit the ball up in the air, and that's when Tristan Hill caught it. Cadlick says May dropped the throw in the bucket, 2nd level, Jalen Polk. He also says May took more reps with the Patriots first team on Thursday, and the walkthrough also took more snaps from David Andrews. We unconfirmed, Mego, whether or not he requested them or not.
I would like to know. Did he raise his hand again and say, me and DA have some stuff to work out? Or did they say, hey, Drakey, get in here?
Good question.
Your turn, bud.
I think we touched on most of this, but I don't think I gave the full offensive line earlier. Joe just dropped this in from Doug Kide at the Boston Herald. Offensive line, left to right. Chuks Okorafor, Sidy So, David Andrews, Laydon Robinson, Mike Amunyu.
So your tackles, a line.
Your tackles are Okorafor and Onwenu. Doesn't that feel better? I mean, I guess I'd like Caden Wallace in there somewhere, but Onwenu at tackle needs to happen for this team.
I think so, too. I just wonder why they had put him back at his natural position of guard at the beginning of this offseason. Like at the beginning of the program, why did they switch him back there? And then now, out of need, they're a couple weeks before the season actually starts going, why don't you play the position that we're paying you for, which is tackle money. We're not paying you guard money.
In there.
Go play tackle.
And again, that's David Andrews, not the former night host. So when it comes to the Pats and this practice today, I think the streamlined version, I said there were 3 boxes that needed to check for Drake May to start week 1. And it's not just today. It continues tomorrow, although I don't know how hard the practice is going to be after almost 2.5 hours today. My guess is it's a light practice tomorrow. And then the game on Sunday. I need May to practice well. Debatable. It sounds like he had a good day, but he did have a pick off a deflection. So debatable how well May played today. I said he needs to continue to get reps with the starters. Check that box. That happened. Mm-hmm. And I need Jacoby Brissett to continue to suck. That definitely didn't happen. It sounded like Brissett had a bounce back day today. So I don't know how I feel about week 1. I need to see it in the game. He needs to get reps with the top offense in the game on Sunday. I think it's going to happen. It's trending that way. And I want to see how it all looks. I don't totally close the door on it, but not a great day. If Jacoby Brissett is bouncing back and not playing terribly like he's played for the better part of 2 weeks, not a good development. And we'll give you more thoughts as they roll in. Again, we'll talk to Tommy Curran. Scheduled to talk to him now. Late practice or a practice that ran long, so we'll do that at 4:30 instead. Let's go to Steve in the car. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well, Steve. What's up?
Hello?
Hello?
Well, I just wanted to say goodbye to Mego and Jones, and we've had our arguments in the past couple of years. I'm the guy from New Hampshire, but I love you guys, and I'm sorry to see you go.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, again, none of the three of us actually are fully going anywhere.
Right.
Mego is going to be on the radio still and working on the website. Is it accurate to say you're specifically covering the Patriots, or will it be more than that?
Patriots and Celtics.
Patriots and Celtics.
Yes.
You're still doing the podcast.
Actually, they said that they could really use me on Bruins coverage. They were like, the mind that you have for hockey has been going to waste on that program.
I saw Scott on his hands and knees begging.
Never talks about hockey.
I said,
please, please.
Yeah, and Bridget roughed you up. She's like, no, I'm not moving in on my turf. The market
is not ready, guys.
It's a good point.
It's not ready.
So Mego, not going anywhere. The show will not continue 2-6 as it was. But Mego will still be a part of WEEI.
She's also going to do walking bets, I heard. That's a new thing she's doing.
You know what? That's a good idea.
Am I reading about somebody else?
You know what? There's not a lot of that going on social media.
That space is way too competitive.
That's a good niche. I think that's a good niche.
Now that is a competitive space right now, yes. It really is. A lot of walking,
Running bets? I'm just sprinting.
Walking?
Yeah. During your next marathon.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Walking, that's so out. Running.
Red Sox 21.
Workout bets. Moonwalking. Workout bets.
Over 145. I'm taking the under, you guys.
I mean, that's
sprinting bets.
Trust me, whatever noise Arcan just made, there's definitely a market for that.
That's true, yeah. Didn't sound like running.
I also will be a part of WEEI. Thank you, Steve, for the kind words. I'll be with Rich Keefe, 10-2. And Arcan will remain here 2-6 with Andy Hart. So that's the update on that. And it's been a while since I said it, but we all do feel horribly for Christian Fourier and Andy Gresh. And neither will be continuing at the station. So if you're just tuning in, that's news on that. We addressed it at the top of the show. It's on the Odyssey app. You can go check it out. Rich in the truck. Hello, Rich.
Hey, guys. How are you all?
Good, Rich. How are you?
How's it going? Hello.
Hi, Rich.
Joe, you there?
Well, that was Arcan that was addressing you multiple times. Hello. But, yes, I'm here. Hello. Do you have us, Rich? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I got you now. My bad.
Cool.
I just wanted to say, guys, that it's been a really nice time listening to everyone on the show on here. Jones, you're in a quiet taste. It took me a while to get into your style and your takes, but you've grown on me, and especially from yesterday, the way you jumped in front of all of this and kind of threw yourself out there is the reason. I don't think that's true. I think it's just a picky audience, and I'm one of them, so trust me when I say I know they're picky. Mego, I'm going to miss all your little afternoon stuff that you talk about, your little moments, your little Miss Can't Be Wrongs. It's going to be fun to remember them, but we're going to miss them. And Arcan, you're the peanut butter, man. You know, you keep it going.
Wow.
So I'm going to appreciate you guys from afar, but I'm so glad you'll be on the station. But, boy, we're going to miss some of the funny crap you guys pull out of your butts, the Always Sunny references.
Rich, we appreciate it. Nice words. We're going to miss it as well. Arcan's the peanut butter.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
I thought it was interesting for Keith to call in and compliment Arcan that way.
The peanut butter man.
Arcan, isn't that...
Is that like a superhero?
Well, no. I'm assuming we're talking... He didn't say you're the peanut butter man.
He didn't?
You're the peanut butter
comma
man.
Oh. Well, that wasn't clear. He said you're the peanut butter man.
You thought he was calling you the peanut butter man?
Like I'm known for my love of peanut butter or something. I don't know.
Dogs love you.
Dogs, yes. Well, I like them too.
You're dangerous to some people.
You thought he was calling you the peanut butter.
I don't know what he was calling me. I don't know what that meant.
Hey, man, you're the peanut butter, to turn the phrase.
And someone else is the jelly, basically?
Correct. Okay, this is what I was going to say. I think the peanut butter is really the highest form of compliment.
Did you think that he was calling you Mr. Peanut with a monocle and a top hat?
No. I thought it was some sort of superhero, peanut butter-related superhero. Is what I thought he was calling me. And I took it as a compliment, by the way.
Hey, man, you're Peanut Butter Man. You ever read those comics? Remember when they killed off Peanut Butter Man? It was huge news. Do you remember that?
It's all
we were talking about at our school that day.
It's better than the last compliment or criticism you got, nickname.
This is Bookworm.
That's true.
Better than that.
Arcan's very on the defensive.
Look up on the sky. It's Peanut Butter Man.
I'll never forget Arcan reminiscing about... going into high school when Superman died.
Yeah, so was it high school? What grade was that?
It was either that or eighth grade. It was right around there, yeah.
It was before or after they killed off Peanut Butter Man.
Well, I still haven't gotten over that.
It's true.
Well, the thing is, they try to kill Peanut Butter Man a couple times, and he always comes back.
It's true. It's true. It's like, you know, he was chunky, and then, you know, he just turns into a creamy peanut butter. There's really nothing you can do. There's really nothing you can do to him. Our good buddy John is in the car. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's a bittersweet day for Mego's childhood friends at Bowel Movement, because she won't be in the air, but they won't have to have their stuff aired out.
That's a good point.
You know, weekly. So that's
air out that shed. That's what they got to do. Maybe.
That's right. Yeah. I know. I'm glad you guys aren't, like, dead or something, the way I've been listening to some of this show today. Like, but I'm going to miss the 2-6, obviously, but, you know, whatever. Good to hear you guys in other times. Jones, I got to call in because I think you're absolutely right on Mayo. Like, the only thing that he seems to be doing right so far is deflecting. Like, every time that, like, there's some potential negative comments that come out, like, he deflects, oh, you know, we're collaborating. Oh, that might be Elliot's decision. Oh, that might be this. Like, you had a plan for Drake May, supposedly, that we weren't going to like, that was going to be slow. But now, all of a sudden, like, because Brissett maybe sucks and isn't, like, really as good as you thought he was, like, now maybe he might start sooner, but like I just can't follow any of this crap with him, and it's just it's just frustrating.
No,
but I think you're absolutely right.
It's frustrating. And so, look, it's one of two things, I think, unless I'm missing it. It's either Jerod Mayo is not in charge, which is wild. You handpicked this guy on a trip to Israel. You compared him to Bill Belichick, and like, what I know.
Your wife.
It's my sweetie Maya. Myra, and it's Bill Belichick. And even Pete Carroll, I want credit for that. And, like, you do all these comparisons, and then you don't even let the guy make any decisions? So either it's that. It's either Jerod Mayo has no say, and he is not in charge, which is a wild thing to do with your head coach. Or he's insulating himself and trying to protect himself from blowback, and he's deflecting, to use John in the car's word. Am I missing another possible avenue? I think it's one or the other, and I don't think either one's good. I just think you're picking a bad scenario either way. Either he's deflecting to get in front of it, or he's not in charge. I mean, pick whichever one you want. Either one's terrible.
Could it be a little bit of both, where they have the training wheels on him, but not to the extent that maybe he's expressing it, because he doesn't always express himself in the clearest way?
Maybe. I just think if the training wheels are on, then he's not in charge. And so I would still put that in the first bucket. Like, your head coach should be. He may not be. It sounds like he's not. But your head coach should be in charge of picking the starting quarterback. That's a very, very basic thing, I would think. Now, maybe the Patriots want to run this like I think the Celtics are run, which I guess would be a lofty comparison, but just to use a local example, or like how baseball teams are run. I think a lot of NBA teams are run this way. Analytics, and we're going to have a lot of input from up high, and ownership's going to have their thumb on all of it. Like, that doesn't sound like a great way to run things. And so maybe Jerod Mayo's just really not in charge. Maybe it's like Goalie Bob. Maybe there's another scenario here that I'm missing. I don't think either one's good. And I wonder if Jerod Mayo is worried about the slings and arrows and worried about how bad it's going to be. And he's like, well, it's not just my call. I might have just picked this quarterback situation. And if Drake May sucks, I know we're hosed. I know we're going to be bad. I know there's no future here. And if Drake May sucks, I want some insulation from getting blamed for screwing up his development or whatever, you know, something like that where he gets attached to it like Bill did with Mac.
But I think that everybody's doing that. Everybody's saying it's collaborative. There's nobody to point the finger at the end of the day. Ultimately, we all know that the finger needs to be pointed at ownership, because they hold the pocketbook, the purse strings, however you want to say it. And Jerod Mayo, because he's the head coach.
Yeah.
And so he's the CEO of the team, essentially.
So I'm with you. If everybody's collaborating and everybody's in on the decision and it's all, you know, one big group effort, like the Burlington Police Department tweeting at Arcan, if it's all that, then you do have to point the finger at ownership.
Now, we have some breaking news.
Oh, good. What is it?
The Burlington Police have deleted their tweet.
Oh.
They deleted it. I have it saved, but it's been deleted.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
I guess that means I got to squash my beef with them. You guys aren't all mall cops. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, who do you think? Well, no. You're running away from it?
Well,
they deleted it. Yeah, but so what?
Well, if they're deleting it, then I'll accept that as an acknowledgement that they didn't mean to say. You know, it's fine. So I'll take back what I said, too. That's okay. That's how it works, right? We're all adults here.
I thought you were going to lean in more on, like, oh, Paul Blart decided to delete the tweet. I thought you were going to lean in more on that.
I mean, I thought about it, but, you know. I don't need to take on a whole police department.
Do you think the Burlington Police Department is accepting his apology? Like, do you think it's safe for Arcan to drive through Burlington?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither. I think not for 1 second.
You're enemy of Burlington.
The amount of times you said Paul Blart in a 2 minute span, they can delete all the tweets they want. I think they're setting you up to think you can just show up in Burlington and then you know you're behind bars.
I don't have any business. Actually, my doctor's office is in Burlington.
Yeah, not anymore.
Coat factory
there?
Find a
new doctor.
I have to do something about that.
I love Burlington,
Find
Massachusetts.
A new PCP.
They got a Wegmans. They got an L.L. Bean. They got everything you need. Twist, gluten-free bakery.
And the best mall cops you ever saw.
Arcan.
What?
I love the Burlington police.
I think this is an ingenious plan by them. They delete it. They get Arcan's trust back. He drives through Burlington, and next thing you know, he's cuffed and doing life. That's how I think this is going. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with all your feedback coming up. I do want to get into the Patriots coaching staff beyond just Gerard Mayo. Some rankings came out. How does the Patriots coaching staff stack up against the rest of the NFL, and how much should we trust them? That's next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.